Okay, so this morning we'll be studying about the covenant. This focus will be on the book of the covenant. It's a concept that I think we need to appreciate some more, especially those of us who celebrate the holy days. Covenant is important, and it's, I think the covenant that we can all relate to easily is the marriage covenant. A man and a woman come before a pastor or a legal counsel and make an agreement. The agreement, it has its, the codes are there, the terms of the agreements are there, and those whatever is agreed to must be abided by for that covenant to last. So in the same way, God has a covenant agreement, and believe me, it's very close to the marital agreement. So the first question we want to ask is, what is a covenant? Alright. I just usually run to my dictionary.com because it's the fastest and easiest thing to do. And if the meaning satisfies the general concept, then I think we're good. So a covenant is simply an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not to do something specified. A law, and this is an important distinction that we need to make, that a law is an incidental clause in such an agreement. So here lies the difference with covenant and laws. So the covenant itself is the agreement. Now if we use the marriage metaphor, when two people get married, what do they really agree to? To have and to hold, to love and to cherish, from this day forward. All of that. That's the agreement. Now, the laws that govern marriage are incidental. It depends on what is needed to support that covenant. So if we are to care for each other, if we are to protect each other, if we are to love each other, there are a number of clauses that has to be in place to support the covenant. So I find that when we approach our relationship with God from the covenant perspective, it's quite a different feeling. And it's really more than feeling, but it's the fact that you are in an agreement with someone. There's a meaning behind the agreement. It's not just that you are following some do's and don'ts laws. No, there is reason for what we're doing. So let's remember this. Now, when we consider the old covenant, it's. We talk so much about the old covenant, but how many of us really understand and can easily define what the old covenant is? So the questions to ask when we consider defining the old covenant: who are the parties in the old covenant? There has to be two, at least. To what did they agree? When and where did it take place? Yeah, you get married, it's important that on that certificate, the time and place is there. That's a part of the formal agreement. What was the sign? In a marriage, the ring is usually a sign of the covenant. And why was it established? Well, you know, there has to be a reason for this covenant. So I'm hoping that by the end of this study this morning, we will clearly understand what we're into when we speak of the old covenant. If we have time, we will also cover the new covenant. But at least for the old covenant, we should have these answers today. Now, interestingly, when we look into the Old Testament to find old covenant, you don't find any one covenant that can be described as the old covenant. It's not one. Okay, we have, you know, most Bible scholars agree on these as the major covenants in the Old Testament. So you have the Noahic, Abrahamic, the Mosaic, the priestly, and the Davidic. Now, other scholars, you know, add Adamic and a few others. I think these are generally considered the major covenants. So we want to look at them and to see how, what was the agreement, answer those questions that we had at the beginning. So let's look first at the Noahic covenant. So if you have your Bibles and you want to read, now the speed at which we go depends on you. If you know the story, well, we can move forward. If you want us to pause so we can catch up with the story, then we'll pause. But the Noahic covenant was made between God and all living creatures. Now look at Genesis 9, 9 to 10. Can someone read, please? Genesis 9, 9 to 10. So that will answer the question, who are the parties involved?
Then God spoke to Noah, 9 and 10. Okay. And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth.
So, God, so this is the first covenant that we find in the scriptures, Genesis 9, 9 to 10. So God established a covenant with Noah and with all living creatures. That's clear? Okay. Now, what was the reason for the covenant? Now, verse 11 tells us, are we going to have some readers, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 11, right?
Yeah.
Genesis 9, verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by water, a flood, neither shall there be anymore be a flood to destroy the earth.
Okay.
And we ask us.
Oh yeah, the important thing is to build, you know, understanding, so...
So that, would that be the same thing as the promise of the covenant? Is there, that's the element of the covenant?
Okay.
Aspect of the promise.
Yeah. The fact that, I think that's the covenant. The covenant that God made with Noah is that he will not destroy the earth with a flood or with water again. That's the agreement. Verse 11. So the agreement between God and all living creatures, Noah and all living creatures, the earth will not be destroyed with water again. That's essentially the Noah covenant. Now, having established that covenant, now there are laws to support the covenant. So God is a covenant keeper. And he's saying that he would not destroy the earth again with flood or with water. But there's something that Noah and all the earth, all living things need to do as a part of that agreement. And this is where you find the laws came in. So we have what is called the seven Noahide laws, Genesis 9, 1 to 7. Let's quickly look to see what, you know, God required of Noah and the all the people of the earth in order to support this agreement. Okay. So, analysts look at these seven verses and identify seven laws. Some are easily, easily seen. Clearly, no murder. Replenish the earth. That's one. Seem to be some forbidden. The eating of certain meats.
But pride is not regular.
Yes.
The first that caught my eye and my mind more than the others. They are caught my mind.
Yes.
But it's not a little bit.
Yes.
Verse 3. It says, I just repeat it again.
Yes.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
Then
you should be eating certain things.
Every moving thing shall be meat for you. Yeah. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Okay. So he give herbs for sure to be eaten. And every moving thing. But he was talking to Noah here in the context of he was loading the ship, right? And God clearly distinguished the clean from the unclean. So Noah would have known when God says all things that there are some meats that are given for food and some not for food.
But when he said all, what were all meats?
All clean food. No, well, yeah, understand, but it's implied. It's implied in the context that it's all clean food you can eat. Because before this, and some argued that before this, that from the Garden of Eden, people were just having vegetables, just the plant, just seeds. But here was the introduction of the eating of meat. Okay, so these were the laws that were supporting that covenant. And of course, the sign of the covenant, we know, is the rainbow. Genesis 9, 13 to 15. So that's one Old Testament covenant between God and all living creatures. God made a covenant that he will not destroy the earth by flood or water. There are seven laws that supported the covenant and the sign of the rainbow. But that's not the whole old covenant. That's just one covenant. Now, question, is this covenant still in force?
I would say yes.
Yes. Because the earth is still here and God has not destroyed it. He has kept his covenant. The laws, we will see that over time, because laws are incidental, remember. So at the time of the flood, God set some laws in place, but as the people grew in numbers and the nation grew, laws continue to be added as to support the covenant. So that's one. Okay, move to the next. Next covenant, please. All right. So the next covenant is between God and Abraham. Genesis 17:11-13. Let's look at this covenant.
And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I am making between me and you, an evident living creature.
Genesis 17. Oh, yeah. No, we're done with Noah. Anybody has Genesis 17?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you.
Okay.
That's 11, verse 11.
Okay. So that was just, we start there with the sign, right? And that sign is circumcision. That's a token. Okay. What was the promise itself? Let's look at chapter 12:1-3. We will see the covenant itself. Genesis 12:1-3. Okay. Now, God said these things to Abraham, one man. So he promised him all of these blessings. This is the covenant between God and Abraham. All right. So to summarize, so Abraham's descendants will be given the land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Genesis 15:18-21. That's a part of it. Next slide, please. All right. Also, he'll be made the father of many nations. Okay. So, do we see what God is giving to Abraham? He'll be blessed. The land would be given, and he'll be the father of many nations. That's between God and Abraham. Now, what should Abraham do on his part? Because there's a covenant and there are always the terms of the covenant. Genesis 17:1 will give us an idea of the term of the covenant.
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.
Okay. Does that, can you relate to that as what God is asking of Abraham in order to get all his blessing? That he need to walk with God and be perfect, be blameless. That's his part. And God's part is that he will give him all of these blessings and all of these lands and the father of many nations. Be interesting to see how all of this unfold over time. And of course, as we read earlier, the sign of the covenant is circumcision. So we have the parties, we have the agreement, we have the sign. Well, the laws are implied in that term, walk before me and be thou perfect. You'll find like in Genesis 26, 5, where it says that Abraham kept all of God's laws and covenants and statutes and judgment.
So, one of the signs is circumcision. So, to partake of this covenant, you need to be circumcised. Us not currently. How do we partake of this covenant?
Okay, so for the literal covenant, then for the people, they had to be literally circumcised. Now, we are not literal Israel, right? We are. Some of us are, some aren't. Because they are the... Yeah, salvation is to all the world. All right, so whether you are a direct descendant of Abraham, which some persons here definitely know they are, or if you were brought in, those who are direct descendants need to be circumcised. Now, we look at the spiritual application of those of us who become Abraham's seed through Christ. Because Paul makes the circumcision very clear in the New Testament. But we'll get to that when we get there. But for right now, we know that Abraham, God made a promise with Abraham, promised to bless him, promised to give him the land, but he need to walk perfectly before God. That's the arrangement. Now, having covered those two covenants, it start to look now like God is, as the children of Israel keep growing, God is increasing the relationships and the terms. And this one, the one made at Sinai, we need to spend a little time on this because this one is important. The Mosaic or the Sinaitic covenant. Okay, it was made between God and Israel, Exodus 19:5.
Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Okay. So, to be clear, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar people unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So what is the covenant itself? Because he talk about keeping the covenant, but what is the covenant?
I would say the covenant without rules.
At Sinai, it's right in the scriptures here. We need to find out what did God and the people agree to. There has to be something that they agreed to. Okay. So it's right in the same verse. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, okay, keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, and above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Do we see what God is asking here? God is asking the people to be to him a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. it's going to come down later to see where, in simple terms, he wants to be a father to them, and they shall be his children. The essence of the Mosaic covenant is that God wants to be their father and they to be his children. But for that to happen, they must keep his voice and listen to his law. Just trying to find the exact verse that quotes the father-children relationship. Okay, until I get to that, just the fact that God asked them to be this peculiar people, this royal priesthood and this holy nation, that's a big part of what they agreed to. And the people answered and said, all, that's verse 8, all the Lord had spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So here the covenant was being established. God wants to make Israel his peculiar treasure, his royal priesthood and his holy nation. And they wanted, the people agreed. So you see the marriage taking place here. What the Lord says, we will do. So Israel is to obey his voice and keep his covenant. Next one, please. Yeah. Now, the Ten Commandments, would we agree that could represent the voice of God? God spoke the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel and then handed it, you know, write them on the tables of stones and give them to Israel. So, the voice of God. Two things. We must listen to his voice and keep his words. So, we have the Ten Commandments very clear there. That is a part of the term of the covenant. But in addition to that, after God gave the Ten Commandments, and this is for them to be his peculiar treasure, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, to be his children, he also added a whole set of laws. Laws are incidental. Welcome, Steve. Yeah, that's our brother Steve, I was telling about, coming from Jamaica. But he'll be here with us for a good while, so let's welcome him. Now, important distinction here is that after the Ten Commandments were given, Exodus 22-17, Moses went back and he spent 40 days with the Lord. Remember in the cloud? And it is in that time that God gave him the rest of the covenant. And Moses wrote them in a book. So this section called the Book of the Covenant from Exodus 20:22 to 23:33 has a number of laws that Israel were to abide by in order to be this peculiar people to the Lord. Can we look at the next slide? Now, we can summarize the laws in the Book of the Covenant, but the important thing in terms of establishing the covenant is that after the people heard the words, because Moses was asked to read the book, so as you go home you can read through the verses, read what is in the Book of the Covenant to the people. And after the Book of the Covenant was read, the people agreed. And it was sealed by blood. Exodus 24, 7 to 8. So the old covenant is established for Israel to be God's peculiar people. It was established between God and Israel, because when they met at Mount Sinai, it was not just Moses, but the children of Israel were all gathered. Remember, they had to purify themselves. No man could go near their wife. All of this preparation was made for this covenant to take place. And taking place there, two things, the Ten Commandments, the voice of God, and the Word. And that was sealed. Now, the fact that this book of the covenant was sealed, it differentiates the terms of the covenant itself from many other laws that you will find in the Old Testament. And that's what I wanted to clarify. And I believe as long as we hold on to this covenant, the idea of a group of people being God's peculiar treasure, as royal priesthood and his holy nation, that the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant remain in force, because those are the terms of the covenant. Is it clear? Next. But one more thing that I should have added there is that there's also a sign of the covenant at Sinai, the Sinai covenant, and that's found in Exodus 31, and that is the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given as a sign between God and his people. Yes.
This is sort of a side question.
Yes.
You read here that the Book of the Covenant was read to them. I think I recall someplace else that it should always be read again at Tabernacles.
Oh, yes.
But we don't do that. At least I don't think we do that.
We should.
Yes.
We definitely should.
Yeah.
The reading of the law is supposed to be a practice and during Tabernacles.
A question reference to the Book of the
Covenant. Yes. When the covenant was established, when God gave the laws, so he gave two sets, the Ten Commandments and then a book of the covenant. Those were what he gave at Sinai.
So all the way through, like the tabernacle, setting up the tabernacle,
that's not a part of the covenant law. No, no. And I tell you why. And it's good, important that we understand this. The laws that we are to obey in order to keep the covenant are basically laws that points out sin, right from wrong. Now, after that, because then the book was sealed. The tabernacle system, all the elaborate ceremonial system to get rid of sin, was not sealed in the covenant. That was an incidental law.
So, Exodus 34, verse
10. Exodus 34, verse 10. That is after the sealing. It was sealed from Exodus 24, 7 and 8. Yeah. Okay. Now, I spent time to read this. So, if you follow what I'm saying, is that there were two set of laws given at Sinai: the Ten Commandments and two tables of stones, and a book of the covenant. That book, the words of it, are found from chapter 20, verse 20, I said, until chapter 33. So that's the book sealed. That's one set of article that is there by themselves. The Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant.
Okay.
Now, outside of that, you're going to have a lot of added laws. But they were not sealed under the covenant. These laws point out sin. And if we should go through the book of the covenant, you realize that it speaks about how to treat a slave, how to treat women, how to the civil laws, the landmarks, and all of that. And it also has the feast days, a number of interesting things. They're all in the covenant.
Yes, so that's why I'm saying it goes out in my head, anyways. It goes out the way to the end of
Exodus. No, but if Moses read, so, you know, a sort of article to the children of Israel, and they said amen to this, and then that is what was sealed. We can't put anything in there that was not in there.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So once you get that concept, you know, we can reason, but the idea is that there was a set of laws that were sealed, and that is called the Book of the Covenant. Yes. Okay, so interestingly, as we come in today's under the new covenant, we will find the Book of the Covenant. Everything that is there applies, but revised by Jesus Christ. So, in other words, whatever we do in keeping the Ten Commandments and the annual Sabbaths, they are all an important part of the covenant relationship. We are keeping the terms of the covenant, but laws are incidental, and they have to relate to the objective. The objective that we will be His peculiar people, you know, the holy priesthood, the royal priesthood, and the holy nation. Okay, let's cover some more. So there's still another covenant called the priestly covenant. And this was made between God and Phinehas. Let's look at Exodus 25, 12 to 13.
Numbers,
25, 12 to 13. Okay. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Remember who was Phinehas?
The son of Eli, the son of Aaron, the priest.
Yeah, what did he do? Why did God recognize him?
He was zealous.
Do you remember exactly what action he took? It's right there, if you read the verses above. Verse 6, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. That's verses 6 to 8. So this was a man who was simply serious about the covenant. God has his laws. There were not supposed to be any such mixture. And this Israeli man took a Midianitish woman into the tent. Eliezer thought this was not good, and he took action. And by doing so, he stayed the plague of the Lord. And for this, God granted him, made a covenant that between him and his sons, they would have the priesthood. So he was a Levite. So the Levitical priesthood came out of that. Everlasting priesthood. So that's the other covenant. Alright? Now the Davidic covenant between God and David. And all of these covenants we're going to find them being mentioned in the New Testament again. So we have to understand again who were the parties involved, what was the agreement, especially the agreement itself is important, and the terms of the agreement. Okay.
You're asking the question that I want to ask about the priestly covenant, exactly what you said, the sign, the parties that was, what was the agreement for the priestly covenant? We didn't see
that. Okay, so the agreement is that Phinehas, his lineage, would be priest forever. Okay. The parties, God and Phinehas, that person. Sign, I didn't find a sign itself. But the covenant is established and was being kept.
Reading what's here, I can't question it. God said that during the covenant. Either we just saying it, but I've always heard the Aaronic priesthood. Like, I've not really heard the priesthood being sent to Phinehas as the salt, because Aaron had it, and he's a child of Aaron. So why does it start with him when it's already started?
No, it didn't start with him. I don't think it started with him, but the covenant was made that it would continue with him. The priesthood.
It would have somehow not continued if not for that covenant.
We don't know what would have happened, but whatever it be, he was already in the priesthood lineage, and God established a covenant that, look, you and your descendants will always be priests. So it didn't start with him, but it continued. So his descendants would always be priests because God made that covenant with him. But it's important. It's not the beginning of the priestly concept. The Levitical priesthood was in place before this, but this is just a covenant with one man. Sister Rose?
In Hebrews 7:11, concerning his question, if therefore perfection were made by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what would it mean was there another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So Phinehas is after the order of Aaron?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Covenant of?
Shalom.
Peace?
Yes.
Yes.
First verse.
The covenant of peace, yes?
Yes. It's given in the covenant of peace. It's given with the descendants.
Mm-hmm.
The Numbers 25:12?
Yeah.
Yeah, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. And this is the rest of it.
So the sign, what the sign you were saying that's missing.
You think peace is a sign?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm wondering if it's the types or what is the sign
Of this, yeah, no, I just didn't see one stated there, so because it's not stated, I just don't know. But what the Bible says is that there was a covenant made between Phinehas and God, that his lineage will be there, so that's identified as one of the major Old Testament covenants.
Was that a sign of the Aaronic covenant?
A sign of the Aaronic covenant? I don't know if Aaron has a sign. Peace is just, it's a covenant of peace. Peace is given with the covenant. Okay. So let's look at David. So God actually made a covenant with David. 2 Samuel 7, 8 to 16. What's the covenant here? It's between who? God and David. And the agreement is that his kingdom would be established forever. Simple. Everlasting kingdom. Okay. So it's the time we review. Let's see if we have been interacting with the text enough. Just from memory, what was the Noahic covenant? The parties were Noah and God. Between God and all creatures. Okay, very good. Okay, what were the terms of the agreement? Okay, before that, what was the agreement itself? What did God agree to? That he would not destroy the earth again with water or the flood. That was the covenant with Noah. Okay. Now, we're here to build, right? What was the sign of the Noahic covenant?
Rainbow.
The rainbow. Okay. Abrahamic covenant. What did God promise Abraham? Be a father of many nations. That he'll be blessed. And that the particular land from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt will belong to him and his descendants. And through him all nations will be blessed. Okay, what was the term of that covenant? What should Abraham do? Walk before God and be perfect. Okay, and we know that he did that because he kept all of God's laws and statutes and commandments and ordinances according to Genesis 26 and verse 5. And what was the sign? Circumcision. Okay, good. Then the Mosaic covenant was between who? Mosaic covenant was between who? God and the children of Israel. And what was the covenant about? What did they agree to? That they would be a kingdom of priests, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, right? Special people to God. That's what the agreement was about. And what was the term? That they must obey his voice and keep his words. Okay. And what was the sign of that covenant? The Sabbath. Yeah, the Sabbath. Yeah. And the priestly covenant was between God and yeah, but the covenant was established with one man. Not the whole. There's one priestly covenant was established with one man, according to Numbers, right? And that was Phinehas. Yes. Ever, yeah.
Okay. So, this is because he was zealous on the behalf of God.
Yes.
And made atonement.
Yes.
To Israel.
Yes.
So, the priesthood, based on that reading,
yes.
Did it begin with?
No. It's obviously begun before.
Okay. But this is a
covenant. A covenant. Yeah. And the same thing we could say, like even of the Mosaic covenant. The Sabbath was in place before. All those commandments were in place before. But then God just made a covenant. So with the priestly covenant, he was already in the system. But because of what he did, God just promised him faithfully that your lineage will always be priests. But I think we'll have to differentiate the priestly covenant from the priestly system. The overall system was already set up and in place. Started from Aaron. So I wouldn't say that God didn't make a covenant with Abraham, with Aaron, but the priesthood was established with him. But he made a covenant with Phinehas, so that promise had to be kept. And of course, David one is very clear. And we all look forward to Jesus Christ returning on David's throne. So that covenant continues. Out of David's loins? Yes, of course. So the lineage continued, right? The kingdom of David, it continued with his sons all the way down to Christ, who was in the same tribe from Judah.
Not
fact is that the Bible said that this the throne of David would be forever. Okay, Sister Rose. Okay, we're gonna come. Yeah. We will see, but the covenant is there and is established. So, what I like to review. Okay, quickly.
Just to follow up on what Brother Stowe says.
Yes.
I have a passage you would like to read.
Yes.
See if you can experience. Yes. It's in regard to the Davidic covenant.
Yes.
It says this. So after the passage you read that says a seed will come from David alone.
Yes.
This is what Solomon says.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord said unto my father, so Solomon is talking
yes.
about this David's
one. Yes.
For as much as it was in his heart to build an house for my name,
yes.
Thou did well in thy reason and heart,
mm-hmm.
notwithstanding, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name.
Yes.
Next verse says, the Lord therefore had performed his word that he had spoken. This is Solomon speaking.
Yes.
For I am risen up in the room of my father David.
Yes.
And I am set on the throne of Israel as the Lord has promised.
Yes.
And have built a house for his name.
Yes.
So the promise, the covenant that yes. he said, a seed shall come.
Yes.
Solomon here is saying that he fulfilled the promise.
Yeah, so how about the forever part?
Okay, but there's other scriptures that talks about Christ. This one is not talking about Christ.
Right.
No.
Well, the covenant says forever. The David covenant. That,
but this is just one.
So there are passages that will explain how Christ become, you know, he's called a son of David. And therefore, the throne ultimately goes to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what you just said about the line out of his line.
Out of his lines.
Solomon said.
Solomon.
He is the one that was promised.
Yes.
To fulfill what was prophesied by Yahweh to him.
Yes.
So that he is the fulfillment of our covenant.
Yes. Yeah. So.
2 Chronicles 6:8-10.
Do we have a misunderstanding? No, because I'm seeing where God told David, your throne will be established forever. Your sons, from your loins, they will be kings. The first one after David to take the throne was Solomon. And after Solomon, Solomon's son. You have the divided kingdom and all other things happen. But ultimately, David will come back. We understand from some prophecies, and will be king again. His kingdom will continue.
Yeah, his dynasty will continue.
Yes.
Through Christ.
Yes.
Not through David.
What Solomon is saying is.
Okay. Some persons think that you know, David himself will come back to rule.
There's a passage that you read in First Samuel repertoire that says a son will raise up in his place. Didn't say David
himself.
Exactly.
Yeah. That part of it, you know, we can think about some more. But the point about whether the fulfillment, you know, it stopped with Solomon, I think we should definitely see the Davidic kingdom as a dynasty that continued beyond Solomon. Okay, what happens in the world to come, in the millennium, that we can sort out. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, that's very good. Okay, Brother Stowe? Okay, very good. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to deal with it in the New Testament. So for now, we just want to revise. So when we speak of the Old Covenant, because ever so often we speak of the Old Covenant, I realize that we need to realize that it's not just one covenant. It's several. And it's not just one party, it's different parties. And it's not just one agreement, several agreement. So when we speak of the new covenant now, we need to, if we don't understand the old covenant, we can't understand the new. Because I'm going to close now with Jeremiah 31:31 down. Do I have it next? Yeah. So I'm just going to introduce the new covenant, and the next time I do a study, we will look now at the relationship between the old and the new. So Jeremiah 31:31 as we close. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. So that's the introduction to the new covenant. So now that we have understood what the old covenant was about, we'll be looking next time as to what is this new covenant. Who are the parties? What's the agreement? What are the terms? And as we unravel this, we will find the plan of God most amazing. I am thrilled when I see the consistency of scriptures and the clarity, the foundation upon which the church of God is built. Brethren, we are up for some good time. Okay, questions?
Was that
God made a promise to David.
Yes.
That he would never mount a law of
God. Yes.
But God made promises, promise to David.
Yes.
Out of this loin shall Yeshua.
Yes. So you're seeing the Davidic kingdom continuing through Jesus Christ. Yes. What else though? Yes.
That's an invitation. You know, to make a change.
Yes.
Abraham was here established. Now, before that, basically there is no. The people that is. He created humans, but they were living in any other. But
right.
Out of Abraham's moment, he said, you are my peculiar
people.
If you do these things.
Yes.
So now that is established, and we actually see that happen. All the people out there, if you are assigned, I mean, information that's given to Abraham, then you are considered to be an outcast.
Yeah, aliens and strangers.
Well, not just aliens and strangers, you're not his people here.
Yes.
So even though your life still consists because of him, but he don't consider you. So if we find ourselves doing something else, what do you have? Because I read somewhere and I said all these other people are like spittle. They're like spit. So in order for you to be seen as someone to be treasured or to be considered, you have to find yourself in this garden. So I'm saying, what happens to all your people?
So that's the question that this church loves to ask. Are they lost? You know, actually, and I, as we go through, we really want to get into the depth of this message because it motivates me to know that as sad as the picture may look, to think that God started with one group of people, use them as examples, that we today should do better than them, because what we're talking about here, all these laws, statutes, and everything, Israel failed. They did not keep their part of the bargain.
I read that this morning.
Yeah, they failed. They did not keep the covenant. So there's a new covenant now established. So under this new covenant, we will realize that God has his grace and opportunity is there for many who never even knew of him, are those who don't know of him today, will have the opportunity. Because God he's a just God. And I really believe that every single human being born on earth will have their fair chance. It's only fair that they have their fair chance. Even those who died in the past, they will come back and have their chance. They'll have the choice. They'll have the choice. They'll have the choice.
Even though Israel failed,
yes,
God promised, doesn't change his promise.
No. No. And that's the important thing, that the promises are still there. What God is looking for are people who are willing to keep their end of the bargain. And that's why, as New Covenant people, we need to know what is required of us to keep our end of the bargain for that relationship to continue.
And that is the reason why judgment begins
in the house of God. Praise the Lord, sister.
Yes, it's important to understand that the covenants, it doesn't mean God will never do away with them, no matter how much he sin, but he will delay it. He will postpone it for a certain time, but he promised to never abolish it. So, and that's happened all the way through the Bible. So
yes.
And it's happening today.
Yes.
So
yes.
It will always be like that.
Yes. He'll keep his... He's a covenant keeper. He will not back down on his word. And that's a reassuring to us as his people, because we're going to be his children no matter what, if we keep our end of the bargain. But so that's why it's so important that we understand the terms of the relationship. What does he expect of us? For Israel, obey his voice, keep his words, and we know them. So as we continue to hopefully rightfully divide the word of God as we are instructed, we trust that we will grow so that we can truly identify ourselves as the people of God today. Alright, thanks very much for your time and attention, and we look forward to continue studying on the covenants next time. God bless.